Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds that your word and Holy Spirit would dwell within us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are in the fourth Sunday in Advent. It's been quite the journey, right? We've been going along and we've been looking forward, anticipating, and seeing that anticipation through the scriptures, that waiting and longing for God to act. And finally here, as we hit the fourth week, we turn the corner, moving from this anticipation to wonder at what God is doing. And we have this familiar story, right? The story from Matthew of the birth of Jesus. And it starts out, of course, like every good story about the birth of Jesus, with Mary and Joseph. But as we heard in the story, there nearly wasn't a Mary and Joseph. It was a rough beginning there. Because while they're engaged, Mary is found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, which means that she has told Joseph what's going on, and Joseph has to decide what to do, because he knows, that's not mine. Now, the law is very clear about the options that Joseph has before him. He can march Mary out to the gates of the city and declare that she has been unfaithful, and she will be stoned to death by the elders of the town. Or he can take her out to the public square and, in the presence of two or three witnesses, declare out loud that she no longer has favor in his eyes and that he is divorcing her. And even that, which sounds more gentle than being stoned to death, leaves her publicly disgraced. Her life in shambles that will not be able to be repaired very easily. But Joseph's heart is not full of vengeance or anger, not even full of hurt and pain, though I imagine that he felt those. But mostly, Joseph's heart is full of compassion, because it says that Joseph is a righteous man. And Joseph knew that the righteousness of God was never just how well you follow the law. Because even the Lord, the God of Israel, had tempered the law over and over again in dealing with the people. A number of times when the people have done so much wrong that God has said, well, the cost of that is your annihilation. God has tempered that judgment with compassion and forgiveness and love. And that is the righteousness that Joseph tries to live out in his relationship with God, in his relationship with the people around him, and in this moment in his relationship with Mary. Though according to the law, she deserves one of those earlier results, his care and compassion and love for her will not allow him to do that. And so he decides, at significant personal cost, to put her away quietly. To send her probably to her cousin, back to her cousin Elizabeth and Zechariah, you know, because they're in the hill country of Judea, and that's pretty far away from Galilee. So she won't be around people who know her, who have seen her, who will be able to look and go, But of course, that will mean that the shame will be on him. What? He couldn't keep her until they got married? Wasn't he treating her well enough? Wasn't he behaving honorably as a good husband should? But Joseph wasn't worried about what they would say about him. Instead, he wanted to be righteous and faithful all the way to the end. And just when he's finally decided to do this, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream. We don't know what else was going on in the dream, but the angel appears and says, "Joe, don't be afraid." Which, of course, is what the angels have to say almost all the time. Whether they actually appear to the person or appear in a dream, whenever an angel shows up, the vast majority of the time in the scriptures, people's reaction is, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And the story just gets more amazing because Joseph wakes up and he follows through on exactly what the angel tells him. He takes Mary into his home and marries her. And she has a child, and he is named Jesus. Now you know that bringing Mary in and marrying her ahead of schedule, and he knows that somebody is going to do the math, go, But he isn't worried about that. He is worried about being faithful to the end. And so this child who he named Jesus, as the angel told him, is the same child he continued to care for, continued to raise, taught him his own trade of carpentry. And continued to be a model of servanthood for him. So is it any wonder that this little child who grew, this little child named Jesus, which means God saves, is the one who grew and was faithful to the end, even in the face of betrayal and suffering and death on the cross. That he would be faithful to the mission to which he was called, to be the God who saves. That the God with us was the one who would save us from our sins. That God with us would be, as God had always been, faithful to the end. And through his resurrection, we see that God's love will not be turned aside. All those lessons modeled and lived and taught by Joseph. Who wanted to be faithful to the end. And that's what Jesus invites us into. Into faithful living. Not just when it's easy or when people will praise us for it, but even in the difficult times, even in the times when people are looking at us and going, that we would be people who lived lives of holiness and righteousness. A righteousness that looked to the law, that looked to the direction that God calls us to go, and at the same time, a righteousness that is always tempered by compassion and forgiveness and love. Amen.